Hot off the press from Maybelline, New York, it's new Lifter Plump, an intense plumping lip gloss formulated with chili pepper to deliver a heated sensation for an instant plumping effect that lasts. From 8 sizzling shades like Blush Blaze, Red Flag, Hot Honey, Coco Zing, and more. An extra-large wand applicator transforms lips in one swipe. Learn more at Maybelline.com. For a limited time, get 10% off your Lifter Plump purchase on Amazon with code 10PLUMP.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Blood in the water, so I try to keep after him and try to get that finish always.
Brian Bam Bam Barberina!
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered. Please tell me that's on video. I've never been happier.
I'm made for a fucking podcast. That's dangerous!
Hi, buddy. Good to be back. UFC Unfiltered. Matt and I are finally together. I've been traveling and I was driving from LA to San Francisco, or no, San Diego to LA or whatever I was going, and I had an event. So that's why I wasn't on Wednesday. I'm babbling.
Well, I mean, I miss you. I was going to text you.
You should have.
You on Sunday because I'm like, I have a little Jimmy Bird withdrawals. I haven't seen you, man.
I know. It's been a couple weeks.
I'll tell you, you look very refreshed. Did you have a good time? What did you do?
I look fat. I got fatter, but I did do some cardio. Yeah, I had a great time. I did a gig in San Francisco, and I had time off before then, and I had a one-day event in San Diego, so I stayed out on the West Coast for about 10 days. It was nice. It was needed, you know?
Sometimes you need that, man. Life is like passing the guard, you know? It requires balance.
Sorry. I guess so, right?
That's a jujitsu term.
Yeah.
But, hey, man, I'm happy to see you, dude.
Me too, buddy.
You know, I told you that I'm set for that operation, no?
You didn't give me any details. No, I haven't talked to you since.
Oh, just to get you up on things. Yeah, June 28th, I'm getting that knee replaced.
Okay. And where are you doing? Here in New York?
Yeah, I'm going to do it in Manhattan. It sounds depressing.
No, I'm happy. I'm glad to hear it.
I mean, eventually I won't be walking the way I'm walking.
It's great news. Are you doing one at a time? Which one are you doing first?
Well, I'm going to do the left first. I mean, dude, you can flip a coin on which one's worse. But I'll do the left first. And then 3 months later, I'll do the right. You know, within a year, I'll be back. Within a year. It sounds fucked up.
That's fine. Yeah, by the end of the year, by the holidays, you'll be all good.
F yeah, dude. I'll be.
You can walk around, eat the big calzone, whatever you want. Well, your legs will be fine.
Exactly. You know, I could sprint to the pizza shop. We're going to talk about the fights over the weekend.
Yes.
And we have Curtis Blaydes and Brian Barberena coming on later on, which
yes.
is very exciting.
We also have Anthony Cavallaro. He's on Righteous Gemstone, and he also played Ozzy in The Dirt, which really makes me happy. He was good.
Now, you should be a good judge if he was a good Aussie or not.
I thought he was a good Aussie, yeah. I don't remember the movie well, but I remember the Aussie moments, and I remember thinking he did a really good job. We should bring him in. And he's a big UFC fan.
I could do a good Aussie. Sharon! Right?
Close your eyes.
Close your eyes. Sharon, you're all mad. But not mad like angry, mad like...
Honestly, I gotta be honest, that was really good, Matt.
What's up, guys?
How you doing?
I'm good. How about you?
Good, buddy.
Sorry. Do you like going by Anthony or Tony?
Tony's good.
Awesome, Tony. Tony, my buddy Jimmy was telling me how much he was impressed with you playing Ozzy.
Yes.
Oh, man. Thanks so much, Jim. I'll take that. That was a blast, dude. That was like That was one of those like one days of work within an 8 month span. So I was very grateful.
Yeah. And it's weird too. Now, did somebody pick you to go for that? Or did you just kind of, did you just audition for it? Or did somebody, I think he would be good for this?
No, man. I just got the breakdown from my agent one day. And I was like, I'd never done an Aussie impression or anything like that. And it was one of those ones where I got it and I was like, oh, fuck, this could be so fun. And I can't remember if I think I was working on a Nickelodeon show at the time, if it had just been canceled or we were right on the cusp of being canceled. So I was like, well, this will be the perfect like breakout thing to get out of the kids' world. And just went full tilt, you know, in a dress for the audition, the eyeliner, watching videos of him from the 80s.
Yeah.
And it was really rad, man. It was so fun.
What Nickelodeon show were you on?
School of Rock. I played the Jack Black part in the TV show.
Was that on the air for a while? I mean, it was after my time.
We did 3 seasons of that.
Oh shit, man. That must have been big, because that movie was a big movie.
It was huge, dude. It was huge. And like when it first happened, it was like, holy shit. And then like, I don't know if you guys remember, there was like that Viacom shakeup. And like a bunch of people were getting fired, and there was kind of like, so it ended up kind of getting a little lost in that whole thing. Like, you know, with TV shows, you really got to have like a chaperone, somebody really to champion you. And even though that like property was so huge, and I've been like such a fan of Jack Black's and that film, you know, since it came out, it's still, you know, it was still a great time, but I feel like it kind of got lost in the mix. And I feel like even now people are like, wait, they did a Nickelodeon show?
This is the worst, is when the person who greenlit the thing you're on leaves the company. Then the new person wants the shit that they greenlight to be there, because that's still the success of the old regime.
That's exactly what happened, Jeff.
Yeah.
Exactly what happened.
Is there anything worse than when someone likes you at a network and they leave? Like everyone... I am the kiss of death. Anybody who's ever liked me at HBO or Comedy Central, they always leave as soon as I start to get rolling or they get fired.
Yeah, dude. Well, I don't know, man. I think you're working, bro. I think you're working.
Yeah. So, was that your first big like gig? Did you start as like a childhood actor type thing, or?
Not at all, man. I grew up a jock in Northern Virginia, man. I went to military college, and then I graduated from VMI out there, and ended up moving to LA.
And Gravis is an improv thing.
They're really respected.
Yeah,
wasn't Alan? Yeah. Is Alan Alda groundling?
I think Alan's a Second City guy, but like Pee Wee Herman was created there, Elvira was created there, Will Ferrell started there, Melissa McCarthy, Will Forte, Maya Rudolph, Lisa Kudrow.
Oh wow. I love Lisa Kudrow, by the way. The Comeback is the most underrated show ever. The Comeback, first and second season.
What is that about?
Such a great show.
It's an actress who's making a comeback, and they shoot her comeback as a reality show. So it's like a kind of this, they're making fun of the new show she's supposed to be doing and her reality show. It's really, really good. She's brilliant.
Herself? She plays herself in it?
Yeah. No, she plays Valerie Cherish. But in and by the way, I wanted to ask you about military school, because one of my favorite movies growing up was Taps. Now, I know that was a high school and you went to college. Was it anything like Taps or the Lords of Discipline or any of those films?
Yeah, I'd say it's more Lords of Discipline. Now, the rumor is Lords of Discipline is based off an experience at the Citadel, I believe. So I went to the rival school of the Citadel and almost wrestled D1 at VMI. The coach had talked to me a couple times there, but I was already playing lacrosse there. So the idea of throwing collegiate wrestling onto the docket was insane. But yeah, so I moved to LA, and that School of Rock thing happened almost 8 years to the day after moving to Los Angeles. So that was like October of 2014, I believe. And I had moved out here in September of 2006.
How did it feel like when you knew you landed that role, and were the other groundling like improv people like supportive or like, ah, fuck, should have been me?
I don't know personally, but I know anyone that books work from, I mean, that's why I wanted to be there, is because the people that are in the main company there, they work, you know? And so that's the goal. So I think the more people that work there, like, I mean, when Melissa McCarthy won her Oscar, and when Kristen Wiig and Annie Mumolo and all of those ladies did such a kick-ass job with Bridesmaids, like the school, like, experienced this like rush of people wanting to go there and take classes. And I mean, they must've made millions and millions of dollars those following years after the success of that film. So I think, you know, success begets success at the Groundlings for, oh, go ahead, Jim.
No. I was going to say what you're saying is good too. And I also wanted to mention that you're a black belt in Taekwondo and you're a big fight fan too. Like you have a variety of things that you like to do. What is it about UFC that you like so much? Is it just the fact that you like mixed martial arts, or is this the only form of it you've watched?
I think for me, I mean, I have such a distinct memory. So, you know, when I was a little kid, my mom put me in dance when I was 5 years old and I loved it. I loved to perform. But then, you know, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles came out right afterwards. And we were broke, so I had to pick between dance or martial arts. And my brother had already taken a couple years of martial arts, and I just completely fell in love with it. My brother and I, we had these two amazing instructors, Elsa Cordero and Arlene Lemus. And Arlene Lemus won a gold medal at the 88 Olympics for Taekwondo. So we did Olympic style Taekwondo. I did it for like 12 years. And same with my brother. And we traveled nationally for tournaments all across the country. And it was just such a great foundation of respect and discipline and, you know, also like body discipline and coordination. And, you know, I was a little fat kid, you know, I was, yeah,
that's what I am now.
I was gonna say that about me. You're funny.
But, you know, for me, it was just such a great foundation for everything, you know, yes, sir, yes, ma'am, you know, for military school, scouts, you know, even for the business that we work in, it's just, you know, you don't get that cordial politeness all the time. And it was just instilled so early. And also just, you know, the competitive edge, you know, and then that led to high school where I did, you know, football, wrestling and lacrosse all, you know, all throughout high school. And you know, especially obviously in wrestling when it was back to, you know, one-on-one, mano-a-mano, you know, just a totally, you know, different experience. But I felt very lucky to have that kind of that background in martial arts early on, you know. And that's why I think, you know, to circle around, like, I remember I showed up at the karate school one day. It must have been spring break or summer or something. And my buddy Gio, who actually lives out here, he's a stuntman. All my martial arts buddies are out here in LA. They're all like hugely famous stunt guys. It's crazy. Virginia to Los Angeles. But Gio showed up and he had this bootleg VHS tape of UFC 1.
There you go.
And dude, it was like game over, man. Hoist Gracie and Ken Shamrock. And the sumo wrestler dude. And there was like a kickboxer that was like 75 pounds overweight. And this like Belgian bodyguard who I think was in the finals versus Hoist Gracie. But I mean, I could basically tell you every fight. I mean, we must have watched that tape 100 times.
Wait, holy fuck. Who's the Belgian bodyguard? That's what I... Dude, I was with you until I heard the Belgian bodyguard. Who is this?
Google this guy.
Serious fighter. The Belgian bodyguard. Listen,
yeah, dude.
I know what it's like, Tony. When you first see, how old are you?
Around 38.
All right. So like, well, I'm a little bit older than you, but when you were growing up, you didn't really, we didn't really know what fighting was, right? I mean, look at this. So now when you found this, you were probably like, whoa, that's what everybody was like. What is Bloodsport, but for real? Except a little skin.
Exactly.
Skin, everybody. That's crazy, man. Mind blowing.
I just looked it up and I'm also getting Gerard Gourdeau.
That's who it is.
It was Gerard Gourdeau.
Yeah. Yes. He was a dirty fighter, man. Dirty fighter. He was trying to bite Hoist Gracie's ear, man. He was trying to bite him.
And not only that, but like there was a rumor that he was actually like a hitman in Belgium, not just like a bodyguard.
Hey, dude, I listen, that guy, he also fought a little Japanese fighter named Yuki Kondo. He ended up jabbing the guy lost his eye. This is before Bisping.
Oh yes. Yeah. I read about this when I was getting ready for this, because I wanted to get back up to date.
Yuki Nakai.
And he lost his eye for real, huh?
Lost his eye. I grappled him. He visited Henzo's once, Yuki Nakai. What a whole Japanese press with him. He wanted to grapple Henzo, and I was there running class. So Henzo goes, Matt, you get him. So I ended up rolling with that guy. He was in the Japanese papers. Nice guy, little guy. And Hickson actually beat him in the Valley Tudo. This is real old school shit, right? But have you watching recently anything, Tony? You've been watching?
Not nearly as much. You know, it's one of those things where if I go over, my friend Alana is big in UFC. I think she was doing PR for Conor for a while. So, you know, I catch up with that kind of stuff. But, you know, it's one of those things where if it's on, I watch it as much as possible. But I think, you know, it really just kind of goes like, I just love, you know, I loved wrestling. It was one of those things that just came so naturally to me.
Yeah.
Because I didn't wrestle until my brother always told me all the wrestlers were crazy. So I didn't do it my freshman year. But then sophomore year came around. I still had all that. I was like 220.
Oh, wow.
As a freshman in high school. And so I wrestled, and I ended up wrestling like 171, you know. So for me, it's really interesting to see the pieces of martial arts from when I was real young, you know, the striking and the kicking pieces, and then the on ground stuff, grappling pieces come together. And like, you know, just kind of this collection of things that I kind of grew up loving and doing, you know.
What do you have? I know the School of Rock thing's over. What do you got coming up? You got something going on? You want to promote something? What are you on right now? What did I read before?
Righteous Gemstones.
Yeah, tell me about that. I mean, I'm sorry, I haven't seen the show, but I will check it out now that I know you.
Oh, Matt, I think you're gonna love it, man. Please, you're gonna dig it.
Dude. Give me the premise. So, and everybody else is the premise.
It's easy. So it's another Danny McBride piece. So I mean, totally brilliant. It's about a televangelist family in the South, the Gemstones, and John Goodman plays the patriarch of the family, and then his three kids are Danny McBride, Adam Devine, and the brilliant Edie Patterson. And they all have like their significant others. And I kind of play like the best friend / significant other to Adam Devine's character, who's like the youngest Gemstone, who's trying to, you know, make himself known and cement his peace in the family as a strong youth pastor. But I'm like the first guy he saved. I play an ex Satanist turned youth outreach minister, Keith, on the show.
Now, I used to watch Eastbound and Down, which I thought was hysterical and totally off the fucking wall, which was, I loved it. I still go back and watch that sometimes. How naughty is this show? Does it get pretty far or no?
It's the same, you know, it's the same guys, the same creators as Eastbound. The world is bigger. And I think the voice has evolved. You know, this, you know, the show is just so huge. I mean, as far as, you know, stunts and castings, I mean, this season we had Eric Andre and Eric Roberts and Jessica Lowe. I mean, it's just packed, and Macaulay Culkin and Jason Schwartzman. And then the cast itself, I mean, Cassidy Freeman and Tim Baltz, Adam Devine, like I said, Danny, Walton Goggins. It's just, it's a bananas group.
It's on
of
HBO Max, buddy, Tony?
Yes.
Oh, fucking A, man. I need something new.
Is there anybody, by the way, anybody funnier than Walton Goggins? How fucking great is Walton Goggins every single time?
Dude, that guy is like the commitment king. First time I met him, man, my wife and I, because we shoot the whole thing in Charleston, South Carolina. So we're out there for a few months, and my wife and I, we were walking our dogs on the beach. And we see this guy, and he's kind of walking, and he's memorizing his lines, and it's Walton. And I'm like, hey, Walton, I'm Tony, I'm playing this. And he doesn't break character the entire time. He's like, hey, we are, yeah, nice to meet you. You know, it's like, holy shit. He's like, sorry, running my lines, and like continued on the beach. It wasn't like until like the first little cast party that I got a real slice of Walton, man. But that guy commits. I mean, that guy would be a great fighter in the ring, because you would not be able to break that guy's concentration, man.
Who's your favorite guy now? Do you have a favorite guy you watch, or who do you enjoy watching at this point?
I mean, I love the big guy, Jones. He's really awesome to watch. You know, I still personally, I like a lot of the guys that, you know, the on-ground stuff just doesn't interest me as much. I think it's because I lost in the regional finals and in the state semifinals to guys, the tall, lanky guys that would just put me down and put me in double grapes and I'd be toast, you know? So I love, you know, I knew he's kind of out of the business, but actually one of my martial arts buddies, Arnold, is a striker trainer. I know he worked with Tyrone Woodley. I know he's out for a little bit, but, you know, I gotta, you know, watch a little bit more. Like I said, you know, before this, I was so passionate early on, you know, with that UFC one, and even kind of continuing in like to the first like four or five of them, Dan Severn. And yeah, who was the other dude with the mustache that had that Don crazy Trump. Fight?
Don
dude.
Trump.
Yeah, bro, that fight, that fight he had with the Japanese guy. Yeah, where
I think he meant recently with somebody in the stands. Did he just hit somebody in the stands recently? He's the fucking best Don Fry.
He did. He gave him the old Will Smith. I think he gave
he's the best.
The hey, what'd you think of Will Smith and Chris Rock the other night? What'd you think of that?
I don't know, man. I don't know. Comedians are gonna do what comedians do. You know?
Yeah. I don't know if he knew that she had some kind of sickness.
Alopecia. He probably didn't know it.
I don't believe he would know say that.
Even if he did, you can't hit him. You can just, you know, you can't strike the guy. You can't walk on live television and slap him.
He went up there and he smacked him.
Yeah.
Fucking. At first, you thought it was part of the. You almost thought it was part. The way.
I mean, we were all. I was here with my in-laws.
Like staged until the incredibly awkwardness, like the incredible awkwardness, right afterwards, where it's like. He starts saying, you know, don't mention his wife and some, you know, he's saying it and then, oh my God, how awkward, Jimmy, as a comedian, Chris Rock is up there and you're in his shoes. What would you do?
Here's what I would do. I would collapse on the stage and not move until my lawyers arrived. I would be still in the hospital. I would have my legs up. Oh, I would Will Smith, however many houses he has, I would own them. Oh, you bet I would collapse and sue.
You are so hysterical. But I mean, I feel kind of bad for Chris Rock.
I felt terrible like, for him. I really love Chris.
What did you do? He tried to save the day. Thought at one point you've seen him like want to say something like, and they kind of controlled himself because maybe he thought he'd be out of Hollywood. Who knows?
He was just in shock. I think Chris was in shock.
Total shock. And I'm also just like, he took that hit and kept going. And I mean, that was not a soft blow.
It was a slap. Yeah,
I just was like, it was a tough slap from Will Smith is a big dude who's done boxing training, fight training. I mean, that guy is trained for everything, you know, right. The guy played fricking Muhammad Ali, you know?
Like, that's right. It's funny how nobody's calling him out for being a bully. Like he literally just slapped a smaller guy and nobody's pointing out the fact that he's a bully. Like he walked over and just slapped the shit out of a guy who's smaller. Because believe me, and it's been pointed out on Twitter, so it's not an original thought. But if Rogan had delivered that joke, Will would have stayed in his seat. He would not have gotten up.
It's true. Like, exactly. I mean, like there's not a lot of like, I don't know, like another comedian that around his size or bigger. I mean, Chris Rock isn't the, you know.
Sleight of frame.
Exactly.
You know? Right. The whole thing just unfortunate.
All right, Tony. Look, man, good luck with Righteous Gemstones. Congratulations on season 3. It is a huge show, and you're really great on it, and I'm happy for you, man.
Thank you guys so much. This was such a blast. You all are both awesome.
Nice to meet
you.
All right, take care of yourself, man. Be good.
Okay, you too, guys. Later.
Hot off the press from Maybelline, New York, it's new Lifter Plump, an intense plumping lip gloss formulated with chili pepper to deliver a heated sensation for an instant plumping effect that lasts. From 8 sizzling shades like Blush Blaze, Red Flag, Hot Honey, Coco Zing, and more. An extra large wand applicator transforms lips in one swipe. Learn more at Maybelline.com. For a limited time, get 10% off your Lifter Plump purchase on Amazon with code 10PLUMP.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Brian Barbarino!
Hey, Brian.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, dude, first of all, nice to meet you, man. We haven't had you on the show before.
No, I've never been on. I appreciate you guys having me on.
Jimmy, can I just say, first of all, I was shocked because not shocked by your fight with Matt Brown, because everybody expected pretty much what they got. A lot of fights don't live up to the hype. When you see a matchmaking like this guy versus this guy, sometimes you're like, oh, and if it falls flat, it doesn't live up to it. You hear about it. Well, this one lived up to it. What a fucking fight by Brian Barbarina. I can't stop saying his last name. I love his name.
I know. By the way, you look pretty fucking incredibly unscathed considering those three rounds you went. You're a little marked, but you don't look too bad.
Yeah, not too bad. He got me, I think, in the third round with that one good elbow that cut me open, a little scratch on the nose, but nothing too serious. I'm not too banged up. Body feels fairly good, and yeah.
This is what I was shocked about. This is what shocked me, is after the fight, the crowd was brutal. And I know what it's like. And Jimmy, if you could hear the boos at home.
Oh, I have, Matt.
Jimmy's used to the boos. I'm only getting Jimmy. But look, when you're in the center of the cage, and Brian, you can attest to this, it's almost deafening. It's almost deafening. You have a hard time hearing people right next to you, right or wrong?
Yeah, right, 100%.
Jimmy, he won the crowd over. Like, I'm expecting, because when you watch him fight, and he's got the hair and the beard, Barbarina looks a little bit like a barbarian. I mean, not in a good way, not in a bad way. You're fighting a cage. It's a compliment.
Yeah.
So I was expecting something out of Raging Al's book where you're booing me, fuck you. And I was expecting something, you know what I mean? But then you're sitting there like, listen, you're a blue collar, you know, people out here, and I'm going to go home to my farm with my family. They were cheering him, Jimmy. He turned him around. It's amazing.
They were pretty crazy. It was pretty wild out there. And, you know, I expected the booing, but I didn't expect so much after the fight, especially the way the fight went. Like, you know, we went out there and put on a war. I thought we'd gain, you know, I'd gain some more respect as far as like people cheering for me. And, you know, after it didn't matter. It didn't matter that they booed. It didn't matter what they do. But in the end, I still, you know, I respect Matt Brown. I respect where he's from. I respected Columbus. And, you know, that's what it was all about. And, you know, I was glad that even at the end, I got to say that to them and still took some boos, but I think, you know, overall happy.
Well, I think if it wasn't a split decision, you know, anytime that because the fans have that hope, like everything that Matt threw, they were going crazy for. Like they were, like every time he would take you that, everything he did, they were going crazy. It was like literally a second by second explosion from the audience every time Matt did anything. So I think the fact that it was a split decision is probably what upset them so much. But I did think you deserved the win.
Oh, it froze.
Okay, he did for a second. I thought my question was so bad that he was just stunned and looking.
he must have just pulled into the shed in his farm.
They're going to remove you and have you rejoin, Brian. We'll get you back in just a second. That was a goddamn good fight, too, man. That was a great fight. I mean, how do you not love Matt Brown?
I'll tell you, first of all,
41 years old.
Matt Brown's stock doesn't go down. It was a very close fight. And when you put those takedowns, it was, I mean, I didn't know actually who they were going to give it to. And Brian, no, I mean, and listen. I don't think you could play maybe either way if it went that fight, which way, but I really was impressed even the way he handled himself on that mic.
I thought it was going to go to Brian. If I remember correctly, Matt, it was because of literally the last 30 seconds of the third round. Like it was so close. And then he just did something extra in those last few seconds and finished it more aggressively. I think Matt was just that tired. And I thought like, all right, that might've gotten him the nod. I mean, I thought the fight was that close.
Man, it was one of those bomb burners.
What'd you think about Neil Magny's split decision win? I kind of thought that I thought Max Griffin had such a good first round, but Magny, I think, did take second and the third. It was very close, though.
It was a close fight. That's another one. I think they gave Max Griffin his win bonus, though. I'm not sure. We should check in. Guys, look for that. See if they gave him his win bonus, Max Griffin.
Really?
I'm gonna say they might have. I thought I saw him say something about that, but I'm not positive.
Oh, okay.
But I want to hear about his farm. I want to know what's on.
Well, until he gets in there, what do you think about Alexa Grasso over Joanne Wood, that round one submission? I thought of you. I always think of you when there's a sub.
I mean, I loved it. You know, we had her on last week when I was on here with Phoenix, you know, and, you know, she was talking about how she got every, you know, upped her game with everything, the grappling and the jiu-jitsu's on point. And now we got a visual.
You can kind of see him.
This is a damn shame because we want to talk to you, Brian.
I know. If Brian is in a no reception area, which happens, if it happens like that, and if we have to have him on another time, we can always do that. Because I would love to have Brian when he's stationary so we could talk to him. He's a really interesting guy.
100%. I want to hear about the farm.
By the way, congrats to Kai Kara France over Oskar Usturov. That was an incredible fight. And what a little fuck. I like that Cormier kept calling him a dog. And that's what he is. He's a little fucking savage dog. What a fun guy to watch.
Well, I mean, listen, he's coming off that before this, the knockout of Cody, which was Cody Garbrandt, insane. So, you know, listen, that city kickboxing, man, they're on point.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
What'd you think of Gutierrez with that fucking spinning back fist?
Oh, my goodness. I mean, what's up with that lately, dude? I'm getting flashbacks of eating that and Meatball Maloney. I mean, the spinning, when they, you know, when they had these spinning back, when they, a spinning back fist the right time, is a beautiful thing.
Yeah, it is.
And pretty painful. Oh, well, listen, we're going to have Brian Barbarino on again another time, but
we have to, yes.
We have Curtis Blades on, and yeah. I cannot wait to talk to Curtis Blades.
Hot off the press from Maybelline, New York, it's new Lifter Plump, an intense plumping lip gloss formulated with chili pepper to deliver a heated sensation for an instant plumping effect that lasts. From 8 sizzling shades like Blush Blaze, Red Flag, Hot Honey, Coco Zing, and more. An extra large wand applicator transforms lips in one swipe. Learn more at Maybelline.com. For a limited time, get 10% off your Lifter Plump purchase on Amazon with code 10PLUMP.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters. Both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Curtis Blades, congratulations.
Curtis Blades. Well, as like Jimmy said, congrats. Can I see what shirt you're wearing there, sir? Please. Oh my goodness, Curtis. Let me tell you something. We have a lot in common. We're both grapplers with heavy hands that like comic books. Let me ask you something. Before we get into your massive win, which I always knew you were capable of, I'm not being that guy to be like, oh, look, I always said Curtis has heavy hands.
Yes.
But he's such a stud wrestler. He's almost like, why should I exchange? I can pepper him up and just take him down and smash him with elbows. But dude, sometimes, wait, hold on. First of all, we're going to get into this. But with my ADD, have you seen the Batman yet?
Yeah. Saw it last week.
What did you think? We're going to get back to your fight. What did you think?
I love that he wasn't like the other Batman movies. He's almost more like Iron Man. Like, he's so rich. He has like the technology. He has all this help. He doesn't have to be like Batman. In this new movie, he had to do all the groundwork. He didn't have all the crazy technology. Even the grappling hooks, it looked like real old school. And so I liked it.
Yeah, you heard Matt Reeves when he talked about it. Like, even when he got to the top of the, when the police were after him and he tried to escape that. When he went up to one of those, Jimmy, you know those the things that Cowboy Cerrone wants to do, those body suits?
Oh, yeah. Those are those wingsuits. Yeah.
And when you've seen it, it's not like he went up there all fearless. You've seen him almost get a little scared. Robert Pattinson was great.
Yeah.
Right, Curtis? Yes. You've seen him almost like shiver, like, oh, fuck, it's what real. Am I doing? And then he gets that thing on and then he took a beating when he fell down. It was a great. Listen to Curtis. He knows a good movie to get that. You know? Hey. It's not George Clooney, Jimmy. In the moment.
I thought he was the best Batman.
This is where you're going to lose.
Jimmy, are you anti-Batman?
No. Anti-Batman? I'm just pro-Joker. I'm definitely not anti-Batman. <Pro-Joker>. But I've never loved any of the Batman movies except for the villains.
Jimmy, you would like this. He's like a serial killer. It's like
I'll watch it. I will.
Seven, Zodiac. It's that kind of vibe. He's
okay.
Batman and all the other movies, they never really highlighted what he was, the world's greatest detective, F. Sherlock Holmes. That's what he was known as. And now they show the detective work. And this is what I want you to do, Curtis. If you haven't seen it yet, go to YouTube and watch a deleted scene.
Oh, I watched it. I watched it.
Doesn't that make more sense now when you watch the ending scene?
Yeah, it makes a lot more sense.
And it's so much better. Yeah.
I think the best part about it is that they didn't make him all smooth and all suave. Like, why would a rich, smooth, suave dude who gets all these girls, why is he being a vigilante? That's not him. It made him be like, he's almost on the spectrum. Like, he's a little weird.
Jimmy's on the spectrum. But listen, Jimmy, I'm sorry.
That's okay, but I'm not a hero. I do wear tights, though.
Before we get to his massive wit,
yes,
I just want to tell you to watch one movie that I guarantee you will enjoy, Curtis. It's the most underrated superhero movie ever. Jimmy, stop saying something silly because I know you got something in your head.
Do not say Green Lantern.
Oh,
I've never seen it.
Green Lantern, I'll jump out my window. No. It is Dredd, not Judge Dredd.
Oh, I love Dredd. I've seen it. Yeah.
Good. So good. We channeled it. We could have been hanging out ages ago, me and Curtis. This is fucking great. Now let's get to the fight. We know our taste in movies are on point.
Yeah.
Man, I'll tell you, it's almost like it's not. Have you ever had any standing KOs before? Junior DeSantos, right?
Yeah, I guess that one. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. But man, it has something changed in the point where you didn't go for one takedown. Was that the plan?
The plan was, I was talking with my coaches. They were like, we're not going to force anything. That's what got me knocked out. With Derek Lewis, I forced it. It wasn't organic. I didn't set it up. I did everything wrong. So this time, we were going to wait. I was prepared to be on my feet for however long we needed to wait. I wanted the perfect shot. But when I took him down, I wanted to be able to – I was actually hoping to get a darts. I've been drilling the hell out of my darts, that half guard. That was originally the game plan. Like, I wanted the bonus, but I wanted the bonus because of the darts. But – it just happened. It was organic. Like that, the right that I hit him with, I wasn't expecting that to put him down. That was just organic.
How did it feel when it connected, Curtis?
It felt like it didn't even hit him. Like, I expected there to be a lot more resistance. And he was down, and I pounced on it, and it felt great.
So you didn't necessarily want to make a statement with striking. It was just, this is kind of how this worked out. The game plan was to put him on the ground.
Eventually, but we weren't going to force. I wanted to like pepper him up, like pump fake him and get him to blitz me and give up his hips and get an easy one.
There's some grapplers out there, whether they're jiu-jitsu based, wrestling based, where they need to get that fight to the floor, and that's where they are the most threatening. Now, people seen your elbow with Alistair Overeem, who's your buddy now. They've seen your ground and pound, your submissions down there. You are blessed with reach and heavy hands. I always knew you had heavy hands. So because they're so frightened of the floor, man, you could unleash. This is Curtis Blaydes 2.0. This could be a totally different career from here on out. Not that you have, listen, you're having a great fucking career, but I'm trying to say, that this something changed
you. It's an evolution.
It's an evolution is the word I'm looking for of Curtis Blaydes. I'm telling you, man, I can relate, bro, because my whole thing was taking guys down and smoking them like a doobie. And then First of all, the takedowns are exhausting. So as I was getting older and I was fighting big dudes, I'm like, fuck. And next thing you know, I'm why am I trying to take down Shorty Carter in Speedos? I should have punched him in the face. It took me another backfist to figure out. Curtis, it took you one uppercut. It took me like five backfists to figure out that we got some soup bones here.
Yeah.
I don't know. So I'm excited. I'm excited for what's next.
And Curtis, can I ask you too? You said you rushed things or tried to force things against Derek Lewis. What happened? What do you mean? What were you trying to force in the moment?
I forced it. That takedown that led to the uppercut. If you watch it, I'm on the line. I'm on his line, and I'm not at an angle. I'm just high lowing. I just go. I don't put out a jab. I don't pump fake. I just go. I'm like, I want his leg. Open his leg. It has to be organic. You have to set it up. Like the best takedowns I've gotten usually happen off a counter. Like I jab, then they throw a big hook, and then I'm under the hips. That's not what I did against Eric Lewis. And I didn't have, what I mean by force is I have this, like, I don't know if every guy in MMA that has a wrestling background has this in their head. I have like a timer in my head, like, okay, you've been on your feet now for 3 minutes. Let's get it on the ground. And that was happening in the Derek Lewis fight. I did not believe. I was like, eventually, it's going to get me. It's going to get. And it's almost like I have a sports psychologist, and he always tells me the thing that you work hardest to avoid, sometimes it works in the opposite. Like you end up getting there. I forget how he said it, but like, if you avoid a rainy day and you don't go outside for weeks and weeks, eventually you're going to set yourself up for a rainy day. And that's what I did. I forced it because I was so cognizant of his hands, and I forced the wrestling. I ended up eating an uppercut, and that probably wouldn't happen had I stayed on my feet, because I rewatched that first round. I destroyed him. He didn't even touch me.
Did you have not enough confidence in your hands? Because Matt really has always said what heavy hands you have, and it's very obvious to anyone that's watched you, but did you have like a little less confidence than you should have?
Yeah, I should have been way more confident. I let old bad habits weaken my own confidence in my strike. I let this mentality, I'm a wrestler, I have to wrestle. I've removed that out of my vocabulary. I'm not a wrestler, I fight. I'm a well-rounded mixed martial artist. I don't have to wrestle. I wrestle when I want to. I never need to wrestle. That's like the mentality I have now.
And I'll tell you, that door choke's going to come a lot easier because you're going to be striking them. They're going to be shooting on you. So they'll be setting that fucking...
That would be nice, too. That would be nice.
And it's a nice freedom, I'm sure. And there's not as many heavyweights that have had that freedom. I mean, Verdum had it where he could just, again, throw without any fear of being taken down. Yeah. And there's not as many guys that have that complete freedom. So I think that's a huge advantage for you if you're striking more.
Yeah, and I think it happened in the fight. The same thing that happened to me with Eric Lewis, it happened to Dawkins. He was so cognizant of the wrestling. Watch out for the wrestling, watch out for the wrestling. He forgot about the striking.
Who do you see as next for you? Because I believe you're number four right now. I think you are. And who's ahead of you? It's obviously it's Francis Cyril. Ty and Stipe, who do you see as the next logical fight for you? I know you want a title shot, but if they said you had to have another fight, who would you think is the next logical?
So if the scenario is I have to fight once more, and regardless of who it is, I get a title shot, give me Gone.
Take Gone. Who do you think gets the next title shot? I think Francis is having something done, right? Isn't he having surgery of some sort?
Yeah, I heard about that.
So I don't know who fights him next. Do they give Tuivasa a shot because he's looked good and he hasn't had one? It's interesting to see, and I'm not sure what Stipe is planning on doing.
But then there's also the thing, like, we don't even know. It's not even 100% if Francis is even going to defend his title. He might just walk away into boxing, which I wouldn't blame him. So right now it's a lot of, like, this is how it's been my whole time in the UFC, the heavyweight division has been like a mess. It's a mess. I don't know.
Before you were talking about not one that rainy day, right now, sunshine and rainbows for you, Curtis. Yes, you know, sir. Maybe eat some bad food, go see the Batman again. You should be on cloud nine, dude. I'll tell you right now, and all the guys we're naming, I would love to see you and Derek Lewis go at it again. And also, Tai Tuivasa is not the best. You are, I would say, a horrendous matchup for him. And I love Tai. I'm not Tai. I love his whole. I like his.
It's obvious. He doesn't have wrestling. I have wrestling. That's, you know, it doesn't make you a bad person to find out he has a hole in the thing. He has a hole in the thing.
That's funny. Don't make you a bad person because you can't sprawl. You think Curtis? You know what? You don't think Tai wants that smoke, though.
No, he's a banger. He'll take it because I know he believes in his hands. But I also believe that, like I said, I'm well rounded. If I have to, I'll put him on his back.
Yeah, but you're also in a bad position for that because you're a nightmare for any guy who's ranked higher than you. Because why would the number three guy, even though you're just as big a name as he is, want to have to deal with you instead of trying to get himself a title fight? Like that's a tough fight. And I would think that if he had to take it, he had to take it. But I would think that if he has the choice and he chose to fight you, I would think that was a stupid fight for him to take.
I mean, but that's a part of being in the UFC. That's why people are starting to flock, because this isn't boxing. You're not allowed to just avoid a bad matchup. You have to fight me. I'm going to be here. I got another 8 years. I'm going to be here. We're going to have to fight eventually. Why not get out of the way?
And it's so nice. I mean, when it goes your way in that fashion, like, you know, you look at yourself having a 5-round fight, and then to end it the way you did, nice and early. Oh, that's a nice
thing. I mean, it's always good to have an early night. Yeah, exactly. It's always good.
Look at you. I mean, does your hand even hurt? I mean, look, you don't have a mark on.
No. It's good.
It's not worse getting to the fight than you did in the fight. That's always a good day.
Did he hurt you at all? I think he landed a couple of jabs, if I remember correctly. Was there anything?
No, that's when I really helped the confidence. Also, I was like, he doesn't have the power to really threaten me. It's like when I spar with like a light heavyweight. That's how I was in there with a light heavyweight. Even though he weighed 245, it just didn't have that pop. It didn't hurt. It didn't make me have to rethink, like, oh, don't know if I want to be at this range. I felt comfortable in boxing range, kickboxing range, all the ranges. I didn't really have that fear, like, oh, he might drop me.
No. I was just going to say, Jim, it's just not, you don't have to do this, Curtis, but if you had to give any kind of advice to Dacus, because he was on a roll, man, he was on a roll, and then he ran into Derek Lewis, and then right after that, he runs into you. Holy fuck. I mean, jeez, talk about the wrong two guys. I mean, but again, you need to do that. You're in the UFC. You got all comers. I mean, anything to keep his head up or anything, anything you should say.
Well, yeah, I would just say, hey, his hands are good. Footwork is good. He obviously has the acumen. It's just the size. And you're not going to become a heavyweight. You're born a heavyweight. I've been a heavyweight my whole life since I came out the womb. I've always been a heavyweight. I don't think he has a heavyweight, like a frame. Like, you look at my legs, you look at Ngannou's legs, you look at, that's what I do. Coming from a wrestling background, like, you remember in high school when you're doing the weigh-ins, you're iron, you're like, who's my guy? You always look at the guy's legs. Yeah. He don't have the legs. That's one thing I think about John. I know John's going to be coming up heavyweight. I don't think he has the legs. Like, he don't have the oomph behind him.
So you think that maybe Dacus, if possible, would be better served fighting at light heavyweight?
Yes, I think he could have an excellent UFC career, another 5-6 years at light heavyweight.
And look, and John Jones is one of the greatest fighters ever. I mean, I don't think anybody doubts that, but I thought John would have a very hard time going to heavyweight, and not because he's not such a skilled or great fighter, but up there, you know, the things are just different. And it just seems like everybody in the heavyweight division has one punch knockout power.
It's almost a prerequisite. It's like, if you're a heavyweight, you have to have the threat. It's like being a flyweight. How can you be a flyweight if you're slow? It's just not going to work. Speed at that weight class is a prerequisite. just like the opposite, on the other end of the spectrum, heavyweight, power is a prerequisite. If you don't have it, it's hard to make a living at that division.
Curtis, I wanted to save this question towards the end of our conversation here, because this is a hard question. If you don't want to answer it, by all means, do not answer it. The Batman with Robert Pattinson, or the Dark Knight? Dark Knight with Heath Ledger. If you had to pick one, I mean, now look, I'm not saying which one I pick. I know a lot of people go with the Batman. Maybe it's fresher in the head. You have to remember the genius work of Christopher Nolan and the Dark Knight. If you had to choose the better Batman movie, you can take your time. Which is it?
Are we judging just the Batman Begins versus the Batman, or are we judging the whole
franchise? I'm not going to do the whole franchise. I would only be fair if there's a sequel to this. So yeah. I'm saying the Dark Knight, because not which one I'm picking, but I'm going to put it up versus the Dark Knight, because the Dark Knight was the more acclaimed. It was more of the.
I'm not going to lie.
Talk to me.
I prefer the Dark Knight. It's not because of Batman, though. It's because of the Joker.
Yeah,
like having a great, like someone to fight against, like that makes the movie better. I think in the Robert Pattinson one, the bad guy was the Riddler, and he was okay. He was okay. But he's not the Joker. The Joker was crazy.
And wasn't Heath Ledger as that, wasn't he the first one? Because, I mean, Nicholson did a good job as the Joker. And I know that there's been so many villains, but wasn't he the first one? And the villain is usually going to be more interesting than the hero, because the villain can do shittier things. Wasn't he the first one who took it to almost the level of a sociopath? Like, there was no one that I think went as far away from the comic books into just doing what an actor would do with it than Heath Ledger.
Unfortunately, he lost his mind, and that's amazing acting, but it had unfortunate consequences. But yeah, the one scene in that movie I love with Heath Ledger is when he's walking in on the mobsters having their meeting. Yes. He walks in and just starts talking smack, like, oh, you guys are having your meetings in the middle of the afternoon because you're scared of the bat, da da da. I love how he just walks in like he's a Joker.
Right.
Who is this guy? He just comes in talking shit, and then he smacks the one dude's head into the table. And
yeah.
He's crazy. I love that scene.
Yeah. 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 Amazing.
Curtis, what about in the latest one, the Batman, the one we just came out, how they made like the criminal element was so like afraid or creeped out. Like in the beginning, they were looking down like the dark alleys. They're afraid of where the Batman is. He was like really, they were like terrified of him. He was using fear as a tool. I don't know.
I like that because this Batman is scarier. I'll give him that. He's scarier. Like he's going to hurt you. He's going to break your arm. Like the other Batman with Bale, he's just going to incapacitate you. He'll hit you in the throat or he'll punch you in the gut. This Batman is going to break your arm.
The fight scenes were better in this, you know?
Yes.
And the voice. The voice was better.
Yeah.
I like Rachel.
Not to mention Colin Farrell as the Penguin, too. And I just want to say, I mean,
he was good.
Yeah.
He was good. Bring him back. I'm glad he didn't, like, die. Bring him back.
I will see it. Matt's got me ready to watch Dune. I'm going to watch Dune because Matt raved about it.
You haven't seen it yet?
Yes! I have not seen it yet.
Fuck yeah, Curtis! Amazing. Curtis,
I watched all the Dunes. I watched the original. I watched the one they did in like 2001 on Sci-Fi.
The series.
I read the books. Like,
I read the books.
I love Dune.
He loves Dune.
I tell you, I did not expect, because I wasn't a fan of the 1980s one, whatever. But the one that just came out, Dune Part One, it blew me away, and it's like my favorite movie of the year. It's that
great cool. Director also. Who's Denis Davout or what? The French guy. Amazing.
Look up
amazing.
The director, like the visuals, of Dune, people.
The visuals are amazing.
But Dune was an amazing movie. I just thought it was just so well done.
And Dennis Villanova or Villanueva.
Yeah. So good, man.
Well, Curtis, look, congratulations. Again, a tremendous win. And I can't wait to see who's next for you. My prediction, just as a fan, is that it's going to be either Tuivasa or Cyril. I don't know if Stipe is fighting again, but whoever it is, I can't wait to see you fight again. And what a great night for you.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I appreciate you guys having me back on the show.
Anytime, man. And we want you to remember us when you're eventually champion. We want you to come back on.
I got you. I will.
And I love talking movies with you, buddy. If something comes out sooner, if there's another big comic book movie before your next fight, you're coming on to talk about that with me. Please.
Doctor Strange. I'm going to go watch that. Opening up.
When is that coming out?
April.
April. And did you like, not to keep you on long, but did you like the Spider-Man No Way Home or no?
That was the best. That was the best Spider-Man movie I've ever seen. Like I cried.
Oh, my God.
When the aunt died. She died.
And May got me. Jimmy. It is true. It's very emotional. This
one. Is it?
It Jimmy, you little black heart bastard.
No.
Little evil little bird. Hey, Curtis, what about, he's going to get this. Curtis, what about when Andrew Garfield catched MJ? Was it that?
That was the moment. I was like, he needed that. He needed the redemption.
Oh,
it was
my a redemption God. Moment. We better stop talking. Imagine I start tearing up in front of Curtis. These are very emotional.
I know.
Emotional. It is. It's very emotional.
I'm watching two alphas get really choked up. I kind of like it because I'm usually the one who blubbers, just not over superhero films because I haven't seen this. But I saw some of whatever the most recent Spider-Man was. Which is the one on the Washington Monument?
That was like the first one. That was like the
okay. Yeah, but I liked it. Yeah. I enjoyed it a lot. So I'll watch these. I'll watch this one. Curtis Blades, thank you so much. And thanks for making time for us. And we love you, man. And we'll see you again soon, okay?
No problem, man. All right. Pleasure.
Okay, take care, buddy. You can't find a nicer guy in UFC than Curtis.
No, it was that Batman shirt. Some guys wear it. Oh, my God, got it for me. Me and him, when I brought up Dredd, he knew exactly what I was talking about.
Yes.
I'm his friend. I'm going to should I DM him later and be like, what's up? No.
I don't know what you say to him.
Jimmy, all right. Maybe I took it to him. Maybe we're not friends.
That's funny.
We did an interview. You're making me cry. All right. Listen, maybe that's being too forward. That's like showing up at the coffee shop where he's at. Hey, you want to talk about a movie? I'll save it for the next interview.
Yeah. I will have him back. Curtis is a great guy. And also, thank you to Anthony Cavallaro, a great actor and a really fun guy. Barbarino, look, Brian, we'll have back on again. Obviously, he tried. Connection didn't work, but tremendous split decision win for him over Matt Brown. And Curtis Blades, just devastating over Chris Dawkins.
A little bit, you know. Yeah. And you don't judge a book by its cover, my little friend.
Sure.
You think that he's a barbarian, Barbarino. And he's just a soft-spoken, nice farming guy. Hey, my family, my farm.
Yep.
Barbarina. All right, listen. Jimmy, what? You're going to be mean sometimes to me.
I love you. So you're asking what I want to plug? You plug first. I'll plug after you.
SarahBJJ.com for a Kimura Savage t-shirt. Oh! Sorry, I didn't realize I was so... Oh,
very nice.
Thank you, everybody. I was showing my abs after I showed my Kimura Savage t-shirt. But yeah, dude, you want a t-shirt or wrist guard, or if you're in Long Island and you live here, don't just pop in. If you don't know, you can pop in and say hi. SarahBJJ.com. Anyway, that's me. I'm on Cameo singing happy birthday. I'm doing new video calls where they could, you know, they could set up like a FaceTime thing with me.
Yeah.
And I warned them, though, when I answer it, I'm going to bring back that shit from the early fucking part of the century. What's up? Every time I'm going to answer it like that.
Please do.
What do you want to plug, Jimmy?
Poughkeepsie, April 8, 9. I got D.C. coming up. I got Bridgeport, Connecticut, I just booked. I got Jim Thorpe, PA, Wilmington, Delaware, and I'm also in New Jersey, Point Pleasant, Uncle Vinny's in June. Go to jimnorton.com if you want to come see me. And thank you to our guests. And what a fun one. Matt, I'll talk to you today.
I feel like I can't even wait 2 days. I can't wait to see you again.
It will be nice.
Jimmy, talk to you soon. Goodbye, Unfiltered Army.
All right. See you, pal. Bye, guys.
Hot off the press from Maybelline, New York, it's new Lifter Plump, an intense plumping lip gloss formulated with chili pepper to deliver a heated sensation for an instant plumping effect that lasts. From 8 sizzling shades like Blush Blaze, Red Flag, Hot Honey, Coco Zing, and more. An extra large wand applicator transforms lips in one swipe. Learn more at Maybelline.com. For a limited time, get 10% off your Lifter Plump purchase on Amazon with code 10PLUMP.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.